Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Hi, everybody.
Hello, everyone.
My name is David Bell.
I am Tom Ryman.
And we just watched Bad Boys for Life.
Bad Boys for Life.
Oh, I've been waiting so long for this, Tom.
Almost 20 years for this movie.
I didn't even know I was waiting. Mm-hmm. My life begins now.
Mike, we got more time behind us than in front.
Man, please. Because I'm going to be running down criminals till I'm 100.
Not me. I'm retiring.
What happened to Bad Boys for Life?
It's time we be good men.
It is Bad Boys for Life.
Who the fuck wants to sing that song?
Right, like the rest of my life is going to be forever defined by before Bad Boys for Life and after Bad Boys
exactly.
for Life.
Exactly.
Yes.
Man, okay.
It's like another 9/11.
Yes. It's good 9/11.
It's good 9/11. It's like Santa crashing into the World Trade Center and presents exploded all over New York City.
All right, I guess I need to ask, just for the record, how did you like Bad Boys for Life?
Oh, man, I loved it.
I really loved this movie.
Yeah, it was fucking great.
Here's... All right, we're gonna spoil this movie, which for some people...
Weirdly, there are a few things to spoil about Bad Boys for Life, so be warned that we spoil the movies in this podcast.
We do, and like normally I don't give a spoiler warning if it's a movie that's like, it doesn't matter. This kind of matters. This is...
A little, yeah.
I'm going to, at the top of this, and this isn't a spoiler, but it explains why there's spoilers in this, is that I realize this movie is more narratively fulfilling and emotionally fulfilling than the new Star Wars.
Yes.
Yes, this movie pays off its series way better than Rise of Skywalker.
It does, and it has actual dramatic moments that I was surprised at.
And, like, emotional stakes.
Yes.
It is
a shockingly good movie.
It is like, so good.
Yeah, it's a truly surprisingly good. Like, I like the series, but like this, I was not expecting this movie to be as good as it is, and good in the specific way that it's good.
Yes, it's meant for Bad Boys fans.
Mm-hmm.
Which is.
Kind of like, old guys, like middle-aged guys now.
Yes. Like, it was made just for me. Well, not just for me, because it was the audience I was with. Like, when the opening happens, and it opens with Will Smith and Martin Lawrence racing down the street, and I instantly had flashbacks to us doing our podcast, which people should check out, Worst Cops Ever, which... Mm-hmm. This previous weekend and the weekend before, we had two episodes out for Bad Boys.
Yes.
And the opening is them speeding down fucking Miami, down the street, like risking so many lives.
Yes. That's the opening to the first one. Oh, and in this one.
No, in this one, yeah.
In this one, yeah.
And then the reveal is it's because Marcus is going to be a granddaddy, a pop-pop.
Yes.
And then they show who the father is, and it's the fucking kid.
It's the same kid. It's Reggie from Bad Boys 2.
Yeah, and right away, the moment Reggie showed up, and it's the actor.
It's the same actor. I didn't check to see if the daughter was the same actress, but I wonder if she is.
Yeah, and it was the moment that happened, I was like, oh, this movie is special. It's already paying things off that I didn't think it would.
They repeated the shot. It's the same shot from behind Reggie's head with Marcus on one side and Mike on the other side. Like, it's, yeah, like, immediately this movie is just, this is awesome. Like, I'm here for this.
It's so, oh, man. It's everything, it's everything Rise of Skywalker should have been. Because it also deals with, should we just go through the plot?
I don't know if we should necessarily go through the plot beat by beat.
No, I will say, okay, I'll say this about it, is that, what did you think about the fact that Michael Bay isn't directing? He certainly is in it.
He's definitely in it. And I just looked it up. Yes, it's the same actress that played his daughter in part two.
Okay.
I think there was these two guys, I forget their name, they're Belgian filmmakers. They might be on the hook to do the new Beverly Hills Cop. We did an interview with them at Collider where they were talking about working on this movie and meeting with Jerry Bruckheimer, and Bruckheimer asked them what they wanted to do next, and they were both like, ah, Beverly Hills Cop, and he told them to keep their schedules open.
Oh, man.
So I think they're waiting to see how this movie does, and it's doing incredibly well.
Yes. Well, this movie has it teases Bad Boys 4.
Mm-hmm, it does, yeah.
Yeah, which
they've already started writing.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, I think what's going to happen is they're going to phase out Mike and Marcus.
Yeah, maybe.
And that's, if they try to do that, I don't think it's going to work.
Well, that's a mistake. No, the series is the chemistry between Martin Lawrence and Will Smith.
Yes.
Like, that's the series.
The chemistry is so good in this.
But what I was saying about what do I feel about Michael Bay not directing, these guys do some really interesting shots in this film.
Yes. I think this movie, in terms of directing,
mm-hmm.
the stuff when it's just the character stuff between everybody, I think I enjoyed more than Michael Bay, because Michael Bay would always inject like some weird racism in there with side characters or something.
Yeah.
Or it would be overly sexy.
Yeah.
That said, I don't think these directors could do action as good. Michael Bay action is, of course, kind of top notch. So when the action happened in this, I didn't hate it. The action's good.
Yeah, the action's very good. It's not Michael Bay.
It's not Michael Bay. And it made me miss it a little bit.
A little bit, but the trade-off for getting, like, all the character stuff is so good in this movie.
Yeah.
So, like, I happily make that trade, because the action is by no means bad. It's very good.
They're also able to honor the tone of Michael Bay's Miami. Because, again, mm-hmm. Michael Bay, in the previous Bad Boys, they always run into, like, weird tweakers and stuff. And there's always these scenes that are just like, what the fuck are these people? But Michael Bay would always make it, like, vaguely racist or, like, just, like, kind of like, weird in some awful way. This one, they run into the fucking...
The accountant. The crazy accountant.
My favorite character, who's just doing so much cocaine.
He is out of his mind on coke. Like, he's talking gibberish.
He says, I think he tells Marcus that he's gonna fast food fist fuck him.
Yes, he does.
What a line. Like, that's a line that's like, oh, that's better than something Michael Bay would have come up with.
Yeah.
The tone is perfect. And I think a lot of it is also probably Will Smith and Martin Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
definitely. In that interview I mentioned, the directors do talk about like daily they'd be, you know, collaborating with the two actors to be like, you know, tweak the lines, and like people would have joke inputs, like even Bruckheimer would pitch jokes.
Nice.
And they have a funny story where they're like, he would tell them something, be like, well, that's not gonna land, and they'd put it in the movie, and it would every single time it would land with test audiences. So like, well, I guess it's in the movie.
Fucking the part where so the plot, spoilers, is Will Smith, there's this guy coming after Mike and shoots him, and that was fucking heavy.
Yes, it happens pretty quickly.
Yeah.
He gets shot a bunch in the street, and it's like he's in the hospital for like months. Like, he almost dies. Like, it's,
there's fucking stakes in this, the way
there really
is.
Yeah.
And so this guy does a drive-by on Mike, and then it's basically like you see him and his mother, and she clearly has it out for him. And the whole fucking movie, I just assumed it was a generic Bad Boys plot, because it was like, oh, okay, yeah, he put this guy away, or he put his father away. Because they do the thing where it's like he killed his father.
Sort of. It starts with the mom, the Isabel, this like drug baron, breaking out of prison like fucking Hannibal Lecter. She does the Hannibal Lecter breakout.
Right. Yeah. Well. Yeah. That was. Yeah. It was classic Hannibal Lecter in the fucking. Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty gruesome. Like this movie's pretty intensely violent in some
and
spots.
There's a good shot there where she fucking is in the ambulance and the door opens and the guy runs out and gets shot and it stays all from that view and then he walks up and he executes the guy.
There's a lot of really good long takes in this movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, she contacts her son and sends him, basically he has a hit list of all these people that put her and her husband in prison, and her husband died in prison. So she's like sending her son out. Here's, kill all the guys that ruined our life and caused your father's death.
Right.
But then spoilers.
Spoilers. I guess what setting up the spoiler, when I was happy, like I was content with that. And this is why, again, I it's weird comparing this to Star Wars, but Star Wars, the classic twist in Star Wars, the reason it's a twist, and we've talked about this, is because we didn't know there was even a need for a twist.
Mm-hmm.
We were watching Star Wars, happy with the plot, not expecting the Luke, I am your father. And then the new Star Wars fucked that up by like making it all about, whoa, what's the twist going to be? Who's going to be whose father? So that's a long way of saying they reveal that this guy, the bad guy, is Will Smith's son. And I didn't see that coming because there was no need for that in the movie.
Right. That's like you said, that's the reason it worked that one time in Empires, because we weren't thinking about that.
And this is a reverse Star Wars. The bad guy is the son of the good guy. And it also, with the plot, because up until this point, they're like setting up this dynamic where Martin Lawrence is settling down and trying to retire and becoming a grandpa. And Will Smith gets shot and he goes into this really dark place, which he acts the shit out of this movie.
They're both really good in this.
The part where after he gets shot, where he's like, you have to do this with me. And he says, no, it was just like, holy shit.
That whole scene was intense. And they're both doing like really good jobs in this movie.
And this is the reason I think like the action's not Michael Bay. It's not as over the top. In a way, it's better because the action is all kind of based on their characters more than just here's some action, because you're like invested in what's going on with them.
Yeah. And then like they set up the stakes, like we know it's potentially the last Bad Boys.
Right.
Mike almost dies in the beginning. So you're like, well, shit. Like, I don't know. And then, of course, another major character dies partway through.
Yeah, I want to get to that because
we'll get to that.
But really fucked me up.
Me too. Yeah. Like, I saw it in the theater with a friend of mine, and we both said, oh, when that happened.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like it, but that's the point.
Like, yeah, you're not supposed to like it. You're not supposed to like
it. I'm really angry about that.
But then they also introduce the new cast of characters, which is this ammo team, which is the three young cops, and then that lady Rita, who is like she and Mike used to date. So they introduce this new set of characters. Like, you're like, fuck, any one of these characters could die.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And you don't want them to because you like them.
Right. And so, like, before Mike realizes that this guy's his son, He's hitting this weird crossroads of like people are telling him, because there's this, he has an ex-girlfriend that he's working with.
Yeah.
And Rita. Like everybody's sort of being like, you need to settle down. And then the scene that comes is Joey Pants, the chief. Yeah,
the captain.
They're watching his granddaughter, I assume, play basketball.
It's either his daughter or his granddaughter, because he does say
she's got
come
the
over.
Family curse too.
Yeah, and he says you should come over for dinner, and then mentions her, like, Callie really likes you, and I'll cook again. So it seems like she might be his daughter.
Wow, he's
and
fucking
not his
well
granddaughter.
Into,
yeah, because well she's like a teenager. Life. Maybe she's his granddaughter. I don't know.
He's not. It's a weird age because it's him watching a teenager, and I thought like he's not old enough, so that's a granddaughter, unless he was fucking real early. I don't know when he fucks. I guess it doesn't matter. Ultimately, but then she's missing the shots and he says she's got the family curse, which is a nod to fucking Bad Boys 2.
Yeah. Yes. Well, no, Bad Boys.
Bad Boys.
The
you're
first
right.
one where he's trying to he's trying to play basketball and he can't fucking do it.
Which is, again, these nods where it's like, we didn't even need that.
I was getting them all in until you showed up.
Yeah. I was so happy. And he tells him this story about a guy on a horse, two Buddhists. And it's like, it's very fun the way the exchange goes. And one guy on a trail almost runs someone else on the road, and the guy yells, "Where are you going?" And the guy yells back, ask the horse.
Yeah, I don't know, ask the horse.
And yeah.
He basically tells him it's like a metaphor for you're letting your life control you rather than the other way around.
The horse represents all your emotions and all your bullshit. And the fact that we all, we can't answer that basic question, where are you going? And they're walking to the parking lot and they're just making plans. And I should have known by that type of conversation.
I wasn't even thinking about it.
I was so
secure in this character that I wasn't even thinking about it. And then he just gets shot in the neck and dies.
Yep. Joey Pants dies, and it's absolutely devastating.
It really is.
I really couldn't handle that. Because they're showing like all the family stuff and that they're friends and that they've been hanging out. And I literally thought earlier in the movie, like I think when they shot Will Smith and it was like that idea, I was just like, no, I mean, these guys are going to die old. I know that about Bad Boys. Like I was thinking like, no, it's never going to.
Mm-hmm. It's never going to catch up to them.
Yeah, they're never going to do that to me, the audience. They're never going to hurt these people. They're my precious little angels, and they're not going to hurt them. And then they fucking kill Joey Pants, and I hated it. I hated that.
Yeah, it was brutal.
Especially since where it leaves, because it's the son who kills him. The son is a very evil character in this.
Mm-hmm.
And spoilers, it ends with basically, they do a good job at that, is they make you want him dead. And Will Smith at one point starts to strangle him to death and stops himself.
Well, it's after they do a whole thing. Man, this movie is so fucking surprisingly good with the drama and the character stuff. Like Will Smith's character, like Mike, is so shaken by the fact that he got shot and almost died because he's like, he's Bulletproof Mike, he's Trigger Mike, like he's this invincible cop, and he almost died. And he's so shaken by it that like all he cares about is tracking this guy down and killing him.
Right.
And when he finds out he's his son, like he's flying out to Mexico to what he knows is a trap so he can get this guy. And Marcus is like, so what are you going to do? And he's like, well, I'm going to kill him. And Marcus goes into this thing about like, you can't kill your own son, man. That is some dark. He says that's kind of darkness will swallow you whole.
Right.
And Mike is so grim about it. And then, so when he finally gets in that situation where he's strangling him to death and he sees himself in a mirror in the same room that's like shattered and he's on the ground choking this guy to death and he just sees their faces right next to each other and it's like this awful image and he lets him go. And then like for the rest of the fight, he's like, I'm not going to fight you.
Yeah.
Like, it's an amazing character arc for a Bad Boys 3.
Oh yeah.
Like,
and I think my only, it's not really a complaint with the story, is that from here on they have to kind of Hollywood their way out of this situation.
Yeah, they sort of yada yada their way out of the building.
Well, and also they have to, like, there's no good way of handling this moment because his son is still irredeemable and he's kind of too far in the hole, but clearly they knew that he can't die, so they do a thing where the mom runs up and he's like, is it true, is he my father? And she's like, yes. And at this point a helicopter has crashed, so,
and the whole building's on fire.
It's pretty sweet. And basically he runs out of steam, the bad guy, and the mom goes to shoot Will Smith and the son jumps in front and gets shot. And then basically you could tell they were like, okay, we need this woman out of the picture. And she's clearly about to shoot. Who do we get? And like the person who should have shot her is Marcus. But they have the lady cop.
Rita.
Rita, thank you. Just jump in to do the shooting. And that felt weird.
Yeah, it should have been Marcus. You're right.
But I feel like there was some producer who was like, hey, this guy can't shoot a woman. You know, like it felt like that sort of moment where it was like, get another broad to shoot her. And it was like, ah, damn it. Like that was the only moment that felt a little like studio.
It did a little, yeah.
Because she shouldn't have been there. It didn't make sense because then they all leave and it's like when they show them all leaving the burning building, she's already outside. Like, it felt like they, like, added that. They, like...
Yeah, it. Yeah, there did seem to be a part where she was, like, separated and then wasn't and then was. So, yeah, it was weird. And then, of course, the ending where it's, like... It seems like Mike is recruiting him for a mission.
Yes.
From jail. And it's like, you know, he killed your very close friend, Captain Joey Pants.
Yeah.
Like, well, that's... he shot him.
And then also his turn, because basically Marcus almost dies, and then Mike can't, like, is trying to save him, and he's going to fall, and he's holding him. And then the bad guy helps, and all of a sudden he's just good. And it was like, no, you still would hate him, right? And, like, your mom just died, and she's, like, the only person you knew your whole life.
Yeah.
Like, he turns on his mom too quick. And then that end where he seems like he's recruiting him, I think... Here's the thing, is I think they took a look at Hobbs and Shaw and they realized apparently villains can just be good.
If they're cool enough.
Yeah, if they're cool enough in like a couple movies.
And this guy was pretty cool.
Yeah. So I think they're banking on that. I think the idea is the audiences are going to forgive, but it's kind of hard in a movie like this that kind of, like, I would say this raised the emotional stakes.
It did. It added actual consequences in a Bad Boys film, which is wild.
Yeah.
And like it was a mix of things too, because like Marcus was struggling with, like, he goes and prays to God while Mike is in critical condition in the hospital and promises that he's like, look, if you get my friend out of this, I swear I won't put any more violence into this world. So it's like for the rest of the film he's sort of struggling with that.
Yes. And that was great.
Yeah, it was good. And it produces that fun scene where they're in the motorcycle and he finds this M60 and he's like, I can't fire this gun. Mike, he's like, no, God brought you that gun in your time of need.
Yeah,
he's like, I do need this.
I'm glad it was one of those character turns that we didn't need to dwell on, so they kind of just are like, look, forget it, man. And then he just sort of does.
Yeah,
it works.
They find a good way,
a
believable way for him to rationalize it, and he's still sort of like opposed to that, like he's not the same as Mike. Like, he doesn't want to just go in and shoot everybody.
Yes,
like Mike's kind of a maniac.
Yeah, and they really, he's always been a maniac. But
I know it's, but they've started to point it out more as the series has gone on.
Yeah, it reminds me of James Bond, where they started to realize, like, wait, James Bond isn't a healthy person.
Yeah, you're kind of just a mass murderer.
Yeah.
Like, you require very little justification to kill people.
Yeah. Well, I think was the key to this movie,
mm-hmm.
and why we're talking about the characters more than the action, is that they thought, okay, we're making a Bad Boys that's how many years later? Like 17?
17.
17 years later, we could, just have them make a couple jokes about how they're older and be this exact same movie. And they do make jokes about how they're older. They're like superficial fun, like, oh, my glasses, which are great. They're fantastic. But then they were like, but also, how did these characters emotionally mature for 17 years? What is their direction? And they legit thought about it. And like Joey Pants, his character is even like calmer. And they still give him a moment where he gets to be like, I'm going to freak out. I'm Joey Pants. Like his classic Bad Boys freak out.
Right,
but slowly build up to it.
Yeah. And they built that off of, like, we see, like, he's, you know, it's played for jokes, but he's doing the woo-saw and they have to take their shoes off before they go into his office in the
and
second
now
one. Yeah, well, then when you see the inside of his house in Bad Boys 2, it's clear he's into, like, Buddhism now. And then he mentions the Buddhism stuff
in this one. And it's,
so it's
a,
like,
more...
It's less of a joke.
Yeah, and it's... Well, that's the thing. It's less of a joke, but also his understanding of Buddhism is, like, a little more mature, too.
Yeah.
And that's what I liked, is that in Bad Boys 2, it was just about, I'm learning calming techniques because I went to therapy. And then it's like,
I really needed to reduce the stress in my life.
Yeah, and now it's 17 years later, and he's just like, I'm a Buddhist. Like, that's my religion, and I've been doing it for a long time. And it was, like, stuff like that was just really, like, They paid way more attention to the characters. They even mentioned, and I didn't think they were gonna, they mentioned what happened to Marcus's sister and Mike.
Yeah. He just briefly mentions that they broke up.
Yeah. It's perfect. Yeah, and Marcus, they mentioned the anger of that and all that. The comedy in this, when the fucking...
It was really funny, yeah.
The sequence where the guy falls on the car.
Yeah, when they're driving that car home. Yeah. Like, peeking out through the smashed... Like, the roof is caved in.
What made that so good is the... people have probably seen it in the trailer where it's him saying, like, oh, she knows. She always knows when she's calling. And that was funny. But the funniest fucking thing is them getting out of that car. And they're walking away and a body slams into it. And they both flinch and without looking know exactly what happened.
Right. And then Will Smith is like, that better be a safe or a piano.
Yeah. It's perfect. That's a great bit.
Yeah, it was really solid.
And then them delivering the child to the spa. Yeah. And he's like more frantic than anything they've done where he's like, drive, drive, drive.
Yeah.
And he's like, try. I like his attempt that he was just going to slip the kid in the room.
Yeah, he was just going to drop the kid in there secretly. And then she spots him and he fucking runs.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
There's some solid jokes in this.
Yeah, it's really funny.
I even liked the new team. Because the new team, I think, is the weakest link of this whole thing.
Yeah, but there's enough to each person that you're like you sort of are able to wrap your mind around them as a character.
Yes.
Like, you're like, okay, this person has an identifiable trait.
Oh, yeah. They gave the guy the bouncer backstory and they, like, all that shit.
Oh, right, and they built a fun joke around it because, like, the tech guy on the team is objectively the hugest guy there, and he's like this. He's this very quiet, clean cut dude that just works with his computers, and like Mike and Marcus can't understand it. They're like, he's enormous, and he's just sitting on there on the computer. Like, what's he doing?
Yeah,
and then they learn about his backstory, and it's like, oh, okay.
The contrast between like the old dinosaurs and the new, because I felt like they were also doing almost a nod to like the Fast and Furious stuff, where it's like high tech spy shit, and they don't understand it. I love how bummed they are about rubber bullets until they actually shoot the guy in the face with one.
It just drops him like a stone.
Yeah, and he just has this welt on his face, and they're so
like Martin Lawrence has to keep poking it.
Yeah, oh, it was beautiful.
Oh, shit.
But they do the jokes about them being old, but what I enjoyed is that it's a regular trope, but they did it well because I think it's how they did it. The scene I'm thinking of is they go to a nightclub and they want to get in, and they don't let them in because they're just old.
Yeah, they're old bummers.
Yeah, and like that's what I liked about it is that it like the actors were fine with the idea that like, no, we're not cool anymore.
Yeah.
Like we're not hip. We want to be and we're just not. And Will Smith like devastated by that fact.
Yeah, he's really having a hard time with it.
Yeah. It's
like he denies dyeing his goatee.
Yeah, that was delightful.
Which then turns it into a nice moment because they show in the montage while Will Smith is like in a coma, like Marcus is there at his bedside and he's dyeing his goatee for him.
Yeah. They also really knew how to fucking devastate us because they do the original scene where they're like getting old and they decide to have a foot race at the bar. And Martin Lawrence is like, if I win, then we retire. If you win, then, you know, we don't have to talk about this anymore. And it's perfect because it's them about to have a race for the stakes of their professional career and their lives. And then we watch the scene start and then Will Smith gets fucking shot. And it's not something you think is going to happen. Here was my fear is that I'd watched the trailer. So I knew like they'd both were in it, but I was scared that the movie couldn't afford Will Smith. So I was like, oh no, don't put him in a coma for most of the movie, you know?
Oh, they wouldn't make a Bad Boys and do
but
that.
My bigger fear was that they were going to like kill off Martin Lawrence or do something to him and make it focused on Will Smith in this new team. Cause the trailer also did that.
Yeah.
So I was pretty confident that wasn't going to happen, but, that just doing that foot race to that fucking him getting shot, it's like the last thing you think is going to happen.
Yeah.
Again, this movie has more shocks and twists than I tweeted that this is my Rise of Skywalker, and I got to amend that tweet because everybody's like, oh, it's that bad? And it was like, oh, right, Rise of Skywalker is a bad movie.
Yeah, Rise of Skywalker is fetid space trash.
No, but what I mean is that it's my satisfying conclusion to a fucking trilogy. It's
this, great. Yeah, it's really, really good.
It really is.
It really is.
Yeah. I want to know what Michael Bay's involvement on this, because when he showed up, Michael Bay is, what is he? Is he the wedding singer?
He's
in
the
this?
Wedding MC. He's the wedding MC. I can tell you what his involvement is, because the two filmmakers mentioned it in the interview. Can watch it. You can watch it on Collider. It's like a 25-minute interview. It's pretty interesting. But they talk about getting Michael Bay where they wanted to have him in the movie, and they specifically wanted to have his cameo be a Michael Bay shot. So you notice it's the 360.
I noticed that. Yeah.
Yeah. And they were working with a lot of Michael Bay's crew on the movie, it turns out. But he was very, like, they didn't know if they were going to be able to get him because he was making Six Underground at the same time. So he was really busy. But he wound up having one free day, and then they got him in there to be the wedding MC.
That's perfect. Well, my question more is, what happened? Why didn't Michael Bay direct this? And why did these guys? Because I thought at first, like, what if the studio was just like, no, let's get some new blood in here. But then the fact that Michael Bay shows up, and he seems to be very, like, it's a big cameo. So it was like, okay, maybe Michael Bay produced this. Like, maybe Michael Bay was self-aware enough to know that new blood has to come in. Because that's the best decision they made, especially since what you just said, that he was doing Six Underground at the time.
Yeah, that was like a nightmare.
Yeah, Michael Bay has gone off the rails.
Yeah, he has.
What was his last films? Six Underground. And then what? A Transformers?
Transformers The Last Night, I believe.
And then all the Transformers. Like, he has lost grip on reality.
He did 13 hours somewhere in there.
Okay. And I'm pretty sure that he couldn't make the Bad Boys 3 that we need. Like, watching Bad Boys 2, you can see the it's starting to become unhinged in that.
Oh, yeah. It's out of control.
Yeah. And it's like he's on enough of a leash that we don't, his worst impulses aren't showing up, but
I don't think it's being on a leash so much as he understands in Bad Boys that he has to sort of take a backseat to the two actors.
Yes. That's my question though, is does he still understand that?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah. I know you don't. It's a rhetorical question, but that's why I'm like, I don't know if I want to see his version of Bad Boys 3.
I'm fine with just having these two guys direct another one if they decide to make part 4. Because they're having one of the same screenwriters write the screenplay.
Right. Yeah, no, I'm totally, totally fine with these directors. I think these guys were great.
Yeah, that one shot in particular, it's after Joey Pants dies and Marcus comes back to Mike's apartment to be like, yeah, okay, I will join you one last time.
Yeah.
And it starts out, it's on the roof like of Will Smith's fabulous penthouse condo that he's looking out over the city, and it's a fixed framed shot, like it's clearly on a rig. And then Marcus walks in and they fist bump and they say one last time, Bad Boys for Life, and then the camera takes off and flies away from them, like away across the city. And that's a really cool shot. And apparently the way they did it was, it was with a drone, but they built a rig for the drone so that they set up the shot, the drone's in a rig, and then they take the rig off the drone to have the drone fly away at the end of the shot.
Yeah, drones are changing the fucking game.
They really are.
Yeah. It's crazy watching drone stuff. Like, it's incredible.
It really is. You can do shots that were impossible. Like this shot would have been impossible 20 years ago.
The shot would have been like a CG shot, like the beginning of Bad Boys 2 when they're going through the club, where that was a shot that was done by merging together like five shots.
Yeah.
That's, like David Fincher and Fight Club type of shots. And now you can just do it with a drone. It's fucking great.
I mean, there still is CG in there to polish some things and stuff and, like, you know, connect them, but it looks seamless.
Yeah.
And it's really cool.
Oh, we've gotten, I think cinematography and CGI have hit a great fucking place because, again, Fincher's a good example because when you go look at, like, Fight Club or Panic Room, the CG shots still look kind of CG because they are making CG environments, but they couldn't quite do it yet. And then cut to Zodiac, where you're like, I didn't even know that was CG. Like, we've gotten so good at digital environments that we can just kind of cheat these little transitions. Or, 1917.
Yeah, 1917 is amazing.
Yeah. And I don't know. These guys did a really good job, but again, with the cinematography, the storytelling, like stuff like the death of Joey Pants, it was like, oh, of course. Like, I felt so dumb because it was like, oh, that's the only way to get fucking Marcus to...
Mike. Oh, it's the only way to get Marcus to come back to the Force.
To get Marcus to come back, yeah.
And they kept saying, you've got to hurt Mike. You've got to make him suffer. And so all I kept thinking was like, well, they're going to go after Marcus. Like, I wasn't even thinking about Joey Pants. And he fucking blows him away.
Yeah. On the other hand, what's funny is that that's such a cliche thing to do in a movie that I think if you were watching this movie and hadn't seen the other Bad Boys, you would see it coming because Joey Pants is clearly like, oh, secondary character. Who do you go
for? Yeah, the mentor. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just funny because this is again why I felt angry is because I was like, you're not going to kill Joey Pants. That would be outrageous. That would be awful.
Yeah, you that would be terrible and we'd all be sad.
Yeah, you can't do that. He's still got a few good movies in him.
Yeah.
You don't kill Joey Pants and then they kill him. And I was.
They sure do. He is
very
super
angry.
Dead. Yeah.
I want to write them a letter.
Yeah.
Again, this is my Star Wars. This is like it was like killing off Han Solo. It's just like no.
Yeah, well, I mean, you knew that was coming, but yeah.
Yeah, well, didn't know Joey Pants. It's devastating.
It was. I was shook.
Mm-hmm. It's so fast. They do it so unceremoniously too, which is the truly shocking way to do that. They fucking Bad Boys. Bad Boys for life.
Bad Boys for life.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. I still could.
So
like,
good.
So good. I missed their friends that were recast in the two Hispanic cops.
Well, they have different names too, so they're different characters.
Oh, are they just different characters in Bad Boys 2? Yep. Oh, man.
Yep.
That's weird. Why did they do that?
One of them is on The Outsider right now, though, so that's cool.
I would have liked seeing them in this. Again, the new crew...
I was kind of surprised we didn't see him.
Maybe they just couldn't get him. The new crew, it's sort of... I'm glad they gave them... They gave them stuff. And they had, like, the new hotshot guy who's a dick to Mike, and Mike's a dick back. Mm-hmm. But every time they showed up, I did feel kind of like, great, they're here. Like, I didn't care about them. It was like, they're gonna keep cramming them in with their weird drones. And again, I get why, but if they think for a second that this is gonna evolve into a Fast and Furious style series where we'll give a shit about those characters, I don't know, man.
I don't know. I'm
crazier things have happened.
I
was thinking about this with did you have the trailer before your movie about kids on dirt bikes doing like crimes?
No.
There's this, it looks like a very indie film, and it's a very grounded film about like kids on dirt bikes who are like involved in crimes or maybe involved in crimes, like could be involved in crimes. And it's like dirt bike crimes maybe. And it's again, very like grounded on the streets. This is a small group of kids. And all I could think is like, oh, 5 films from now, these guys will be going into space. If I've learned anything about the way movies work now. So who can say, you know,
who among us?
Yeah. Who can say where Bad Boys will go? It just doesn't feel like, we need a team. Mm-hmm. I feel like they tried to do that in Bad Boys 2 as well, and it was like...
Not really.
Yeah, they just had a team for the
end. There was a team, but they were never, like, really the star.
Which they do in this too, where the team is like, oh, we have to go, it's you guys now, you know? Where like they didn't bring them in for the finale moments. Although again, that lady kills the witch.
She does.
I could have used more magic.
I mean, she wasn't literally magic.
I love the you fucked a witch stuff.
Yeah,
that was incredible.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah. But I could have used, when at the beginning she's like speaking in tongues, she's like doing a spell, and then she shanks the fucking prison guard.
Like, brutally.
Brutally. And then they put her in the goddamn...
stuff her in the washing machine.
Yeah, like the movie Identity. Mm-hmm. And then later they show her doing that again, and I was like, there better be magic. I will accept magic in this world.
That would be a wild turn for the Bad Boys films to suddenly introduce magic.
Yeah. No, it's true. Them fighting ghosts. I don't know. It's just a thought. I could accept it. Joey Pants could come back as a ghost.
Sure. He's haunting them.
As a force ghost.
Oh, yeah. As a force ghost, for sure.
Yeah.
He raises an old X-Wing up with his ghost powers.
Fuck it.
Because apparently that's a thing you can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is... I think it was Cody who mentioned that to me, and I hadn't even thought about that moment in that film. That is fucking nuts.
Yeah,
that changes
stupid. Everything.
Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, force ghosts can use the force? Why aren't they helping out? They can manipulate the real world? Where the fuck is Yoda? That changes everything. What a dumb movie.
Yep, it's real stupid, so let's not talk about it anymore.
Okay. Bad Boys is so much better.
Bad Boys is so good.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about any other film for the rest of the year. No, that'll change.
It's going to be hard. I don't know. There's a lot of exciting movies this year, but this is...
The next couple of weeks in particular.
Right. This is everything I wanted it to be. It's...
Yeah, it was just really good, and all the character stuff was so good. That was the most surprising element of
it.
Yeah,
that was
sure.
the shocker. It's well written. I gotta look up. Is it the same directors who wrote it, or is it?
No. It's has three credited screenwriters, and one of them, Chris Brenmer, is the guy who's working on the fourth script right now.
Okay.
So the script existed apparently before these filmmakers got brought on board.
Okay. That makes sense.
But they did, again, I'm referencing this Collider interview, which you guys can check out on that website. They do talk about, like, it changed a lot. Like, it was a constantly going back and forth, being like, you know, because it's action, comedy, and drama. So they always had to change things to find the right balance of all three.
And they did. They found the right balance.
They really did, yeah.
Yeah. Because, again, I think here's they knew.
I do know that they said that the two main plot points, the fact that Mike gets shot pretty early and that the bad guy is his son, were in the script from the beginning.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, because I think they knew the core of the idea. Like,
yeah.
They knew why they were making this film.
Yes.
Which, again, is what hurt Star Wars, is like they knew, like, okay, this is the point of this film.
they really sat down and thought about it.
Yeah, exactly. They thought about it. And so then when we were talking about changes along the way,
yeah,
it's fine because they know where they're all on the same page.
Right. They know what they want and what the movie's supposed to be about.
Yes. And so everything, and yeah, tons of movies are made that way on the fly. Great movies are made like where they suddenly have to rewrite shit. That's not what the problem is. It's it's knowing, understanding why they're making the movie and what the core idea is.
Right.
And they knew, and they started with the characters.
Yeah.
And so, like, this, that's sort of, again, I would have accepted, I expected this to be a fun Bad Boys that was like, oh, it was great, you know, and it was just like another adventure for Mike and Marcus.
Yeah, not really substantive, just like, oh, it'll be fun to watch some explosions and watch these guys trade jokes because they're great together.
And it certainly isn't like, you know, the most amazing dramatic film I've seen.
It's just way more than
it needed to be.
Right. It makes a hell of an offer. And it's like, I was not expecting this.
Yeah, I was not expecting, like, scenes where they're crying and talking to each other about their lives and their friendship. and where their lives are heading and stuff like that. It was just like, Jesus.
Like really putting a Mike's character in a microscope and being like, he is a depressing mess.
Yeah.
Like his life is nothing.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't do anything but this right. job, and he's kind of a fucking mess.
Yeah, it took all the little jokes from the previous ones where it's like, oh yeah, look at the family man getting old, wanting to retire. Oh, look at the hotshot rich kid. And then they like examine that shit a little more.
Yeah, what does that look like in 20 years?
Exactly.
It doesn't
look great.
It starts to look pretty depressing for the hotshot, the flashy rich guy.
Right. The guy who's like, I just want a body count. Yeah, mm-hmm. Man. Good job.
It's good. It's
good job,
good.
Bad Boys 3.
Yeah, and it also still felt like a Bad Boys movie.
Yeah, and I feel like we haven't talked about it enough because, yes, the action's technically not as it's not Michael Bay.
No.
And therefore, I hate most Michael Bay movies now, but he can shoot action, or he could shoot action very well.
I was about to say Six Underground makes a compelling argument to the contrary.
Again, I think he's completely unhinged now. He's a parody of himself, but he used to shoot action in a way that was fucking great. CGI has ruined him. Like, I think computers have done very bad things for him.
Although that, I will say the car chase in the beginning of Six Underground is kind of cool.
Okay. But the
it's like
action
a
20
minute car chase. Anyway,
the action is this is still good, compelling. Like
yeah.
I was, there's not a moment of this movie I was bored. I was with it the entire way. So
yeah, it's delightful.
Glowing recommendation. I would say I've talked to a few people who are like, should I see this? I haven't seen the first two. And I was ready to say, like, yeah, go see this. Now I'm thinking maybe go see the first two first.
Watch the first two. That second one's going to be kind of tough, but
yeah. But fuck. This it's way more it's
you sort of do have to have seen the first two to see this.
Yeah, this is it's more satisfying.
It won't resonate as much, and it's way more satisfying if you're familiar with the characters and what they've been through.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Bring it on, Bad Boys 4.
Fuck yeah, man! I'm ready. My body is ready.
Let's do this.
I think that's a sewed.
Yeah, that's a sewed. Folks, thanks for listening.
Thank you so much for listening to us talk about Bad Boys for an hour.
You should check out our Patreon, patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. We have exclusive podcasts there, like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman and Fox Mulder is a Maniac.
Mm.
We have a new tier that you can check out that makes you a Hypecast producer. You get merch, you get letters, we send you shit in the mail.
And you get a personal shout out on each episode of Hypecast.
That's true. So check that out.
We also have a store, tpublic.com/store/gamefullyunemployed, where you can get t-shirts, mugs, stickers, posters, all kinds of junk that you can buy from our virtual house and put into your real actual house.
Yeah.
And then it will be yours.
And let's start a hashtag campaign to get Joey Pants back as a ghost.
Yeah.
Hashtag ghost pants.
Yeah, ghost pants. Pants force ghost.
Pants force ghost.
Force pants.
Force pants. He should have been in a Star Wars.
Weird he's not in the Star Wars. He's in the Matrix.
Yeah, he is in the Matrix.
That's Star Wars adjacent.
Yeah, I guess. It's the Star Wars of hacker movies.
It's the Star Wars of 1999, and that's not even... Yeah.
All right.
No other competition in that category in that year.
No, nothing else going on there.